There are many words that one might associate with Christmas. Tradition, I suspect, would be at the top of many people's list. Traditions are funny things, though. Sometimes they develop in unusual ways. Fortunately, for the purpose of this reflection, a fine example appeared in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday, December 19th. And I'd like to share with you a little bit of this story. The dateline is Tokyo. Christmas is coming, so it's time to reserve fried chicken and cake in Japan. Consumption of those two foods has so firmly come to mark the informal holiday here, December 25th isn't an official day off, that few Japanese are aware other countries prefer somewhat different Christmas cuisine. I had no idea, said 22-year-old university student Ryuya Morimoto, informed that chicken and cake aren't American Yuletide staples. When I was a little kid, we would eat chicken as a family, he said, and then have Christmas cake with a little chocolate piece on the top that said, Merry Christmas. Families like his make this the busiest time of the year for Kentucky Fried Chicken outlets in Japan. KFC lets customers reserve fried chicken as early as October's end. Those who try buying buckets on Christmas Eve risk having to stand in line up to 6 hours under the watchful eye of a Santa-suited Colonel Sanders. Japan's Christmas chicken tradition dates to the early 1970s, when a non-Japanese customer came into a Tokyo KFC store one day to buy fried chicken as a turkey substitute, according to the chain. KFC, still struggling at the time to win Japanese over to eating greasy food with their fingers, hatched the idea for a new Christmas tradition. It was a hit among families, and a lasting ritual was born. Christmas is boring without Kentucky, said 18-year-old high school student Yuna Nakajima, using the name by which KFC is popularly known in Japan. Ms. Nakajima has already reserved her chicken this year, planning to enjoy the traditional meal on Christmas Eve. Now, we can chuckle about the cultural quirks of our friends in Japan. But let us consider ourselves. Let us consider, for example, the Christmas tree in our sanctuary. I suspect many, if not every person here, has a tree at home, or at least will be visiting with someone who has a tree over this holiday. It wouldn't seem like Christmas without one. And yet, what I think is one of the most wonderful analyses of the Christmas tree was offered in this card featuring Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock that was sent to me many years ago by one of my dearest friends. Captain Kirk is singing, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches. Mr. Spock, watching, thinks, what macabre beings these humans. First they sever it with a chainsaw, then they sing gleeful songs to it. The logic escapes me. Well, the fact is, logic often seems to be absent with many of our traditions. Sometimes they're cooked up in a corporate office. Sometimes they evolve over decades or even centuries, and no one can quite figure out from whence they came. Sometimes they really don't have any deep meaning. And sometimes they mean everything. 2,000 years ago, the people of Israel cherished a tradition that a Savior would come, that God would send somebody to deliver them, to lead them out of darkness and oppression. And lo and behold, one night, that Savior arrived. Now, this being God, things didn't quite happen the way we might script them. The Savior who appeared was a baby. And he was born to a family of no status in a small town, often ignored. And when the news was announced, according to Luke, it was shared with shepherds, not exactly the day's thought leaders. They were not the opinion makers. But it was to shepherds that the angel appeared, and he shared the message that a Savior had indeed been born. And do you remember their response? Hearing that the Savior had been born and could be found in Bethlehem, they dropped everything. And they hurried off to see this child. They worshiped him. And they were filled with joy, and they left, and they went to share the news. They dropped everything. You ever wonder what happened to the sheep? They didn't care. Their jobs didn't seem to matter. Their responsibility, not important. This is not to say that we should shirk our duties and ignore those to whom we are accountable. But here was news so important, so critical, so vital, so life-changing, that the shepherds dropped everything. If I could ask for one gift for each of us this Christmas Eve, it would be that we would have an encounter with the divine. A meeting with God so powerful, so incredible, so amazing that we would be compelled to drop everything. To run out and share the good news. To not worry or wonder what people would say about us. Imagine being set on fire with the presence of God that way. It's not a dream. It's not a fairy tale. Luke tells us it happened. That is a tradition that has been passed down to us over the centuries. Traditions can be good things, and then they can be otherwise. Sometimes they become stale and a bit moldy. They lose their meaning. And that can happen to Christmas. Every year we listen to the same music on the radio. Every year we run out to the store to do our shopping. Every year we go to parties. Every year we go to special services at church. Every year we get together with family and friends on the holiday. Every year we clean up afterwards, and then we get ready for the snowstorms to hit. This year, though, I guess we would like to at least see some cool weather arrive. But the shepherds remind us that Christmas is not meant to be dusty and moldy and tired and familiar. Christmas instead is about God's incredible breaking into our world. God's coming to be one of us. God's love made manifest. Christmas reminds us that Jesus matters not because of the ministry he had as an adult, when he taught and he preached and he healed and did miracles. Jesus matters because of who Jesus is. Jesus was, Jesus is God among us, God with us. That is incredible news. And that is an incredible blessing. Returning to Tokyo, we remember those people standing in line for 6 hours to buy their buckets of wings and legs this night. And I wonder what it would be like if people would stand online for 6 hours to hear the story of God's love made real for them. Would we do it? I hope so. And if we're not ready, maybe we can start a new tradition.